be as important as anything else in the game. Now, if you really want my opinion, it should be prioritized more than anything else. And I think you will agree once you've heard everything I've got to say. My prediction is that in the next few years, these methods will be as integral to every football club, every player, as tactical and set-piece training. Why? Because even counting ability, the one area that could see a player released or dropped when they actually had the potential to go on and win the Ballon d'Or, is their brain. And likewise, the one thing that can lower a team to mid-table when they could have made it to the top is how well that each player can utilize the amazing potential of their brain. Without this knowledge, you are leaving your form to chance, and your career might never hit the dizzying heights that your ability warrants. Most players will spend every day working on their ability, yet they leave their form to chance. They may play well, they may not. What if you could massively stack the odds in your favor of playing a great game every game? None of what you're about to learn is fluffy or hopeful techniques or something that was dreamt up that might help a few people in the right situations. Everything that I do is based upon evidence, because evidence is all that I'm used to dealing with, and evidence is exactly where my story begins. For more than a decade, I operated out of secret locations around London, gathering intelligence and evidence for some of the most elite law enforcement agencies in the country, including the National Criminal Intelligence Service, NCIS, the Serious Organized Crime Agency, SOCA, and the National Crime Agency, the NCA. I had a career that assisted in dismantling some of the biggest criminal enterprises in the country, and my role as a senior operative involved leading teams in highly stressful and covert deployments in the field. And even before then, I worked as an intelligence officer with the British Transport Police out of a location in Tavistock Place, London. And it was here that I was involved in doing my part in recovering from one of the worst atrocities that this country has ever seen. It was on the morning of the 7th of July, 2005. I had just had a late finish on a covert operation the night before, and I was enjoying a light breakfast at a hotel that was close to our offices. I was pouring a coffee when Sky News began reporting electrical surges on the London Underground. The news was that some people may have been injured. I put down my cup of coffee as my phone began to ring. I can remember the call vividly to this day. It was my boss. "Mark, have you seen the news?" "I'm watching it now," I replied. "They're saying that the Underground has had electrical surges and there might be injuries." His response was blunt and to the point and still makes the hairs on the back of my neck stand up. "That's incorrect. There are bombs going off all over London. When can you get yourself in?" Now, as I made my way to work, I heard the boom of the explosion that came from the number 30 bus at Tavistock Place. It was less than 100 metres from my office, and that single explosion claimed the lives of 13 innocent people. In the moments after the blast, our station took in the wounded that were not able to be taken directly into hospital. For the next 10 days, my colleagues and I did not leave the cordoned off zone. We walked every day past the wrecked bus that has since become such an iconic image. And during this time, forensic teams slowly took it to pieces in their search for clues and evidence. The scenes of utter carnage and devastation were burned into my mind for a long time after this event. Our workload dramatically increased, and I began to look at alternative methods to help my colleagues and myself to perform better under pressure. And over the following months, I drew upon my previous knowledge of psychology, and I researched new methods to assist all of us. I began to employ techniques to help reduce stress loads during big operations, which would then allow us to focus and perform better on what we were doing. I didn't realize it then, but these were my first tentative steps towards using the power of the brain and hypnotherapy in doing what I do now to help